This is the Skate Podcast on WEEI.com and the Radio.com app.
Time in 39 years, the Boston Bruins have won the Stanley Cup.
Talking Bruins in the NHL.
Sure, old-time hockey.
Like it is sure.
Yeah, yeah.
With Ken Laird from the Greg Hill Morning Show.
That's evidently what Ken Laird wants you to believe.
And WEEI.com Bruins writer Matt Kalman.
Everything gonna be all right?
Lace him up for some Bees talk right now. It's the Skate Pod.
Send the skate, I'll give it a B, B plus.
On WEEI.
Holy, this is a big-time show.
It is a big-time show.
6 out of 7 in the loss column as we record this, another edition of the Skate Pod.
Not in the National Hockey League.
Everything's going to be all right, Matt Kalman?
If you get a point, they don't count that as a loss, remember.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
Everybody's a winner in the National Hockey League.
Bruce Cassidy was spinning it disappointing. Disappointing 1 out of 2 against the LA Kings. And ripping Tuukka. I want to talk about that in a second. But, of course, we welcome you to the Skate Pod, and we are presented by Red River. We love Red River. We thank them for sponsoring the Skate Pod, the exclusive sponsor of the Skate Podcast. As always, you can subscribe Apple iTunes, Stitcher,
yep.
Google Play, Matt Downcast, uses Downcast. Find us somewhere.
Radio.com.
Yeah.
Just go on the EI.com site and
right.
Click on it, download
and please,
it.
Please, 5-star review. Give Matt some encouragement.
And lots of happenings around the EI podcast family here. Mm-hmm. The return of Lucy Burge. I mean,
it's like a
soap opera where they come
back. And a new
logo
for the
later.
5 Out podcast. How about that?
They're, I didn't even know that. Yeah. Wow.
It's the holidays, and Cranky Kalman is coming out because yesterday, at one point, he ended a text chain with too much stress figuring this out. So.
Oh my God, the podcast podcast pursuit is just so much. Especially we're trying to get 3 guests. You know, because we love our listeners so much, we're trying to get holiday week podcast recorded. So we're trying to get basically 3 guests for 1 week.
Right.
And it's a lot of juggling when you try to also, cover the Bruins and write about the Red Sox reforms, which I know everyone loves my Red Sox coverage that, from 50,000 feet in the air.
Right.
So,
one off bullshit. Let's get to it. We have a big, big guest this week. Huge.
Maybe the biggest.
1.6 million followers on Twitter for Bob McKenzie of TSN.
But that's not the astonishing number. The astonishing number is I think he follows like 300 and change. And I'm one of them.
Well, really?
What is he doing?
That is a stunner.
How does he continue to follow me and not block me?
You are the Boston media member he trusts.
I guess so.
You are the reputable one. All right, good. We'll get to Bob in a moment. But back to Cassidy lighting up Tuukka last night after the game. Twice in 2 different sound bites.
It's a 58-foot shot. They're going to give something up. Finds its way in. So I thought we played the right way in the third period to get the lead, to extend the lead. Their goalie did a great job keeping them in the game, and unfortunately we didn't get the saves we needed.
Pretty funny how this guy will never get a hair across his ass for Danton Heinen or Charlie Coyle or, Matt Grizzlick. He loves these guys so much, but if Tuukka Rask gives up a couple bad goals, right under the bus.
Like I said, you got to tip their hat to their goaltender. He was a little better than ours.
Not a good goal. I'm not going to say it was.
Right.
Tuukka said he was screened, right? He didn't see it.
Well, he didn't say it. He was asked in that way that, where did you see it? And he definitely didn't see it. And let's face it, there's a lot more breakdowns in front of that one than most that he would give up. That wasn't that soft a goal, considering all the traffic in front of him.
Well, we talk a lot about it. We're almost assuming now the Tuukka talk has died way down. He's, he proved himself last year, but we're almost assuming that he's going to re-sign here. Maybe he and Cassidy don't get along, and that's, they should start to think about Yaro Halak as the goalie of the future. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to overreact to, but it is weird how he picks on him.
I think it's just his way. He's just like old school. He used to be the coach would always pick on the goalies, and now everyone gets kid gloves. And I think Bruce, sometimes that 1990s Capitals Bruce Cassidy comes out.
Who was the former Capital player that ripped him last year? I forget.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, Bates Battaglia.
Bates Battaglia,
and actually, with a little bit of research, I think Bates Battaglia played for the Capitals for a week.
Is that true?
He literally played for him for a week.
That's awesome.
And actually, I don't think you mind me saying this. I asked Bruce about it, and he said, I don't even remember the guy. I don't remember him.
That's awesome. Now, I want to get to something before we get to Bob McKenzie, and we'll talk to Bob about trade targets and Ilya Kovalchuk, who's in town, and Krug, of course, will always come up. But you had a phrase that you heard. Hear Cassidy say this.
Well, Cassidy said it this morning, Wednesday morning, but Tuesday night after the game, I asked Jake DeBrusk about Ilya Kovalchuk, because I know he's the kind of guy that follows the league, and obviously, his dad's in the media stuff, so he probably hears stuff. And, twice he reiterated, well, there's a hole, a hole. And I think for them to acknowledge a hole, which sounds kind of harsh on a hockey team where you're supposed to say, oh, you know, we have 18 skaters who are all great and we can play with each other.
Right.
For him to say a hole and Bruce Cassidy to this morning say, you know, we have a hole means...
Referring to what?
Referring to the right wing on the second line, clearly, means that these guys really acknowledging this now... Donnie Sweeney kind of has the heat on him to fill this hole. Now, we can get into a little bit, is Charlie Coyle the fill for that hole, leaving another hole? But there's a hole in the top nine at the very least, and the players see it. And, you know, he talks always about Donnie, about when he made those moves, some of those cockamamie moves he made when they were missing the playoffs, and he would add Lee Stempniak or whatever. We owe it to the team to add on and try to go for the playoffs. Well, now you really owe it to this team to fill that hole because these guys are talking about it openly.
Yeah, well, I have no doubt now that after the last couple of weeks they're going to add somebody, even if it's a Stepniak type. But
right.
They were not in on Taylor Hall, right? I mean, that was not even a consideration.
I mean, somebody tried to say that they called about it. I mean, obviously the package they were giving up, we know the Bruins aren't parting with that for a rental. You know, maybe if you had some term, but this guy's going to market, right? I mean... He could see. He tried to poo-poo that a little bit in his press conference with Arizona, but he wasn't any Mark Stone. He didn't bring the contract in hand as soon as he got there.
Although I've read, like, Frank Saravalli, your colleague, he writes at NHL.com, right? Or TSN,
no,
I don't know.
He's TSN, yep.
But he spun it as this is worth the risk. Like,
of
no problem.
Oh, for them, sure.
For the Coyotes.
Yeah, for the Coyotes, absolutely. I mean, if you're going to be a legitimate team, which they think they are now, and try to get
just to get on the map
fans.
Once. Oh, so you're saying I think they need a side
yeah.
show.
I mean they need star power and they can't score. I mean they're third in goals against and they're third to last in scoring. So
they're
if you're going to
pounded by the McDavid's of the world, every
and
night.
You have a farm. They didn't give up. I was reading actually Future Watch or whatever it is in the Hockey News. They have like three blue chip prospects. None of them were in this package. It was two or three secondary guys. You know, and obviously the first that could become two firsts. Or at least the first and a second, if you just win a round of playoffs, which is probably more likely than him signing there.
All right,
a heavy package.
Oh, but if there are no blue chip prospects, then why wouldn't the Bruins have been interested? You're just saying the two draft picks are too much.
The draft picks are probably too much. Donnie does not like to trade those first, and it's not for a rental. Now, you know, if you get into Kyle Palmieri and you're getting an extra year like you got with Coyle, you know, maybe you know. Obviously, the package would be less because Taylor Hall is much better than Kyle Palmieri. Don't jump all over me here. Twitter sphere, but if you had to do the first and just a second level prospect of Kyle Palmieri, that probably is a better fit for you too. I mean, Taylor Hall, a great player, and everyone's going to say, well, you can always find a place for a great player, but that doesn't necessarily play the position you're looking for it to fill at this point. He plays the left side. You know, Bjork, DeBrusk, Heinen, who's moving to the right? You know, you're causing good problems, but problems nonetheless.
Well, part of me thinks if this were February, the Bruins would have been in on it. But my hunch is they're just feeling like, even though they've had this skid here, they have such a cushion, and they don't know what's going to happen in a couple months, and they don't want to overreact and like, you know, they're not desperate. So why?
Now,
but if you look back in 2 months and say, man, we should have gone after Taylor Hall, then you're going to regret it a little bit.
I think they also kind of, you know, not that he's a bad guy, but I don't know necessarily he would be a guy to fit the room.
Maybe.
I mean, he kind of is, I don't know what the word would be, but he's not necessarily a leader to begin with. And, you know, there's...
Not that they need a leader, but you
but
don't
there's
need
this idea,
either.
Right. There's this idea that you need to kind of fit the mold here. And,
okay.
You know, plus, you don't know who else is going to shake loose, I think. That might come at a cheaper price and give you the same bang for your buck.
True. And a contender may turn into a seller.
And you don't necessarily need the biggest bomb on this team. I mean, we're looking at this through the prism of the six game whatever skid here, but they won the eight in a row and they pretty loaded when things are clicking the right way here. So,
well, how concerned are should Bruins fans be about the losses? Because as you say, a couple of them are teams that maybe they overlooked, Chicago and Ottawa.
I don't get the losing to Chicago and Ottawa and Detroit and LA, but the one goal losses to me to Tampa and Washington are encouraging. Hanging on in Florida is encouraging, considering we know their history with losing leads to Florida. So that was good that they grinded that one out.
Yeah, a 3-0 lead almost.
Right. So it's not that concerning. I think come Christmas we'll have a. It might get concerning if this rest of this homestand doesn't go well, because this becomes, you know, again it was like the road trip where they went to Ottawa and went in the toilet, and then the road trip became a struggle. Now this homestand starts with L.A. It should have been a win. You had it in the bag for 19 minutes, 18 minutes. And now you're looking at Islanders Nashville, Washington into Christmas, that could really put you into a skid.
Well, good for them that they had such a great start that they can weather this a little bit. But also concerning is their record after regulation. They just, two breakaways again against the Kings, couldn't bury.
Well, they should have done it in the third period. They should have buried some chances. True. And, you know, Sean Corrali continuing to prove, I am a fourth-line center, because every time they bump him to third,
I know,
he just forgets how to play, and missing an empty net like that, unbelievable.
All right, well, let's waste no more time. This bigger name than Don Cherry before his reputation was sullied? I don't know. He's up there.
We could do a Twitter poll.
All right, who's a bigger name? Who was a bigger name a month ago, Don Cherry or our next guest, who is the great Bob Father? And that, of course, is Bob McKenzie, our guest this week. Well, not often we get a legend here on WEEI, and that is the Bob Father, Bob McKenzie. One of our normal hosts, Pete Blackburn, could not make it, Bob. I know he's your son, so you see him on other times. So on a future appearance, we'll have Pete with us as well. But thanks for coming on.
Pete's out probably buying new shoes.
Some lifts. Yeah, that's what he needs. You just tweeted about Ilya Kovalchuk, who was in town last night, Bob, so let's start there. No interest from the Bruins, eh?
I don't believe so. I'm really curious to see if anybody's jumped up, to be honest. I mean, it only takes one team, and there's 31 in the National Hockey League, although I guess we call it 30 since Los Angeles is one of the, the 31, and they just got rid of them. I started checking around yesterday, just kind of curious, and I didn't hit every team by any stretch of the imagination, but I probably hit on quite a few. And my sense of it is that maybe there's no interest in Kovalchuk. Now, and as I say, it only takes one, and I didn't canvass every single team. So, but my understanding is that the Bruins are not going down that road at this time. And I was mentioning Pittsburgh and Calgary because some people were trying to tie the waiver, the waivers of Austin Zarnik and Stefan Nazan, to the fact that maybe they'd be signing Kovalchuk, and Pittsburgh and Calgary don't have any interest in him either.
Do you get a feeling for why teams aren't necessarily as interested as people thought they might be?
Well, I mean, the thing that jumps out at me is if you were interested, it's a pretty low risk proposition. I mean, you know, he's probably willing to play for the league minimum or close to it. So that's what, 700,000, between 700,000 and 800,000. And prorated for the rest of the season on a contract for the balance of the year, it's next to nothing. So you could bring him in, and if he doesn't work out, you could launch him back to the KHL or the minors or wherever you choose to do. It's easy money to get rid of. So it's not the cost that's involved. So that's why in the back of my mind, I'm wondering, maybe there's one team out there that would just say, yeah, you know what, let's bring him in, see if he can fire bombs on the power play or whatever the case may be. But in any case, we'll monitor that, see how it happens or if it happens. But I think a lot of teams just look at it and say, well, you know what, if he couldn't help the LA Kings,
right,
what would make you think he's going to help us? You know, assuming it's a contending team or what have you. But, you know, he's still got a pretty good shot. The game's faster than it's ever been, and he's not.
Right.
But as I said, the money and the term is virtually negligible on both counts. So we'll see.
It's been a pretty eventful week in the NHL for mid-December. I don't remember being so much news going on this time of year, and the Kovalchuk thing won, and obviously the Taylor Hall trade coming down this week as well. Who do you think replaces Taylor Hall now as the guy that teams are going to be maybe chasing as big-time rental?
Well, if you start looking at the prominent UFAs at the end of the year, you'll see Alex Pietrangelo in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. You'll see Nick Backstrom in Washington. You'll see Braden Holtby in Washington. And we'll automatically use our common sense to deduce that the St. Louis Blues, even if they don't have Pietrangelo signed, they're not trading them. They want to keep them. They'll try to win another Stanley Cup with them. They get a deal done at the end of the year. They get a deal done. If they don't, then see you later, Alex. Same sort of deal with Holtby and Backstrom, although Backstrom, we know he's been negotiating a contract extension with Washington without an agent, which would lead you to believe that he's prepared to do a very, very club-friendly deal that would allow him to stay on a team that's, you know, more or less capped out when he could make a lot more money probably going to the open market. So he's not going anywhere. And even if Braden Holtby's not back next year, same situation for Washington with Holtby as it is with Pietrangelo in St. Louis. These guys are trying to win cups.
Right.
These guys give him a chance to do it. So why would they even think of trading him? Those are the prominent guys. The one that'll be interesting is Chris Kreider.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big body, likes to introduce himself to goaltenders around the league. Probably not playing at the top of his game. New York might have some interest in re-signing him, but there's a sense that, you know, if they could get a first-round pick and a prospect for him, that maybe he would move. So I would think Kreider might become that rental flavor of the week, month, whatever, now that Hall's gone.
Last year for the Bruins, Bob, they went after Marcus Johansson, of course, and it was a success. How active will they be this year, and who might they be interested in come February?
Well, I think it's too early to say, to be honest. I mean, I haven't. That's my way of saying, I don't know.
Right.
And it's early yet, and you got to see how things go. And, you know, there's so many factors and variables, injuries, who's healthy, who's not, how the team's playing, where's the hole in your lineup. And, you know, I know that, you know, ever since they, from the time they went out and tried and got Rick Nash to on and on, and you know, so Johansson and any number of things here, there always seems to be, you know, a hole in the top six or top nine for the Bruins. And it's not a big one. Bruin fans would probably think it's a big one. Everybody else around the league, especially in the Atlantic Division, that sees the Bruins, even in spite of the fact that they've lost a lot more than they've won lately, look like the Bruins are home and cooled out the way Tampa was last year, at least for winning the division, unless they continue to lose at an astronomical rate, or right, one of these other teams that's been really inconsistent, i.e. Toronto, Tampa Bay, Florida, Montreal, Buffalo, unless they get their act together. Most people look at the Bruins lineup with envy and say, man, that's a really, really good lineup, and there's no real weaknesses or holes, but we know that they playing on a regular basis with Chi or somebody who's got more offensive pop on the third line or whatever way you choose to slice it.
What about, and actually you talked about the bigger name rentals that aren't probably going to go anywhere. Boston has Torrey Krug. I mean, do you have any feel or hear anything about what might be happening with him as far as his negotiation? It's been pretty quiet here.
It has been quiet, and I haven't heard anything at all on that. And my guess is that the Bruins may not be in a position just to do any of this right now, and Krug may want to get a little further along and see what's there. And, you know, there's some people who think there's just no way the Bruins will be able to afford this.
Right.
Anytime I hear that kind of talk, I understand it on one level, because I think Krug can probably, especially if he has a great year, stays healthy and puts points up, I think he could really hit a home run in free agency, mm-hmm, that the Bruins couldn't afford to match. But, you know, the salary cap's a weird animal. You know, I never say never on anything, because it's just, it's discretionary.
Right.
You just got to make hard choices. So, you know, if you're the Bruins, you might presume that there's no way we'll sign Torrey Krug, and yet you might look at it over the course of the year, see how things shake out, where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are, and you could say, well, we could choose to get rid of this guy, and maybe we would have money for Torrey Krug. So, we'll just see how all that plays out. It's too early to say.
Well, and for instance, Bob, they gave Charlie Coyle $5 million, who, you know, is he only a third-line center? Was it a good signing? Or is he possibly an answer for their hole in the top six, do you think, down the road?
Yeah, you know what I mean? I think what you see is what you get. Can Charlie Coyle play better than he has? I'm sure he probably can. Can he play more consistently? You know, probably most players in the National Hockey League would say, yeah, the elusive goal in today's NHL, because it's such a competitive league, it's really hard to be consistent. And the Bruins as a team have done a better job of that than most anybody. When you get good players and players that you're comfortable with and they're of that age, you know, in their 20s, and you feel reasonably certain that, you know, signing a guy to that term for that amount of money, we're not going to regret that. And if we do, we should be able to, if we do need flexibility, that should be an eminently tradable deal. Depending on the circumstances, what no trades are and what have you. I think Coyle's a real good player, and I think he really helps them. And I think it's one of the reasons why the Bruins were as good as they were and why they got to where they did in the Cup Final last year. I mean, so close yet so far.
Well, we appreciate your time, Bob. I know you're a busy man and you got to run. Happy holidays to you and Pete and the rest of yours. And well, hopefully we'll do it again soon down the road.
Awesome. So, yes, say hello to Pete for me. And he's quite a young fella.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
Have a good one, Bob.
Awesome, guys. Have a good one. All of that.
All right, bye-bye. All right, there goes the great Bob Father, Bob McKenzie, who also dropped a hole in the top six. Yeah. Nice of him to work that in.
It's unbelievable that
it's the narrative.
It's like I said, it's one thing for Bob McKenzie to say it and for us to say it or any pundits to say it, but for the team to say the word hole as opposed to saying, well, you know, we have lots of guys that could play there and we have Danton and we have Anders and we have Charlie. No, it's a hole and they've all acknowledged it. And, you know, and to go to the Kovalchuk thing, everyone who doesn't want to click the link to my, you know, I have a four-point argument against Kovalchuk linked on WEI.com, and every response to my tweet is, what's the risk? What's the big deal? Click the damn story. But as long as you're listening to this, it's pretty much the same as clicking on the story. So I will tell you one other aspect of this is, 700 grand doesn't matter. What if he just doesn't fit here and it screws up your team a little bit? What you're so concerned about racking up points and winning this division, getting home ice advantage, you don't want to just plug this guy in. What if he just doesn't work? And that's, I'm not shocked to hear that they're not interested. The guy is slow.
He's slow and he's also a character risk. I mean, I don't know what he's like or what he was like in L.A., but in the early years in Atlanta, he was a hothead. I'll never forget Michel Therrien, who went on many epic rants over his career, but this has never been more true. It's a game of passion. It's a game of emotion. If you don't have guys who are buying in and believing in what you're doing, they could be detrimental to the cause.
Absolutely, and that's why this team is so strict about character and bringing in guys that they know are good people and will fit in this room and fit in the right space, and they have 10, 12 people who you could consider leaders, guys who could all wear letters on this team. I don't think they're willing to just, first of all, they talk about power play time. Well, who are you taking off this power play? I mean, I know two yutzes on Twitter are going to tell me Danton Heinen stinks, get him off there, but he plays a purpose. He plays a role on that power play, as does Jake DeBrusk when they switch them. And then that second group hardly gets any ice time, never mind where you're going to put him on that second group. Yep. It's not how to help him thrive. And if he's not going to play defense and he's not going to play with passion like you're saying, what is the purpose? On top of the fact that, he's another guy who likes to play the left side, so you're going to try to fit him in here. $700,000, yeah, wonderful. It has nothing to do with the money. It has to do with hockey and everything else about it.
Now, click the link. Chris Kreider was on your list of early
Chris Kreider is
targets.
A whole other story, and obviously a guy that, you know, Bob brought up, and we didn't get into this with him. I just wonder what the price will be. I guess if Taylor Hall sets the price at the top, Kreider probably a notch down. And so there's, you know, we know Jeff Gorton and Don Sweeney have made plenty of trades together.
Too many Massachusetts guys on the roster,
Well, at one point you would say, oh, my God, they're just getting Massachusetts guys. Because when Mike O'Connell used to get those guys in the 90s, it never worked. But all of a sudden, they found this batch of hometown guys who actually, you know, can handle playing here, which is pretty amazing. Chris Wagner, Charlie Coyle, Matt Grizzlick, and then, you know, obviously even Noah Chari thrived here. These guys know how to handle it and know how to play. And so that goes back to the Bruins being judges of character. And, you know, assuming that they think Kreider's personality would fit here, he's definitely the guy you would want to have to play with Krejci. Possibly, maybe to play with Bergeron, but more than anything, in the playoffs, fewer teams will be pushing you around when you have Chris Kreider and their goalies' faces.
He's got some size, and they've obviously made a deal recently with the Rangers. So
they've made a few. Rick Nash, yep. Nick Holden, so, you know.
I think it's a possibility, but again, how long do the Bruins want to wait here just to see how everything plays out? Never know who gets injured.
Right.
You know,
well, they get bailed out by this holiday break. They won't. They can't. You know, the roster freeze. So it gives you a couple of weeks to talk to people, but you can't make any trades. And then, you know, they've struck early in the past. And you'd say, you know, early January, maybe you get on this and get it done.
Lastly, to react to what Bob had to say, Torrey Krug. Any takeaways there?
The more I talk to people, and the more I mean, this is part sources and part my gut. He's gonna be here somehow, one way or another.
Whoa, really?
I just can't imagine him
leaving. Informed speculation.
Well, here's the thing.
Well,
you heard
Bob say they can't afford it. Nobody knows how they're gonna afford it.
Well, but and how much did we spend the summer saying they can't afford Carlo and McAvoy and everything?
Well, so they spent money on Coyle.
It works all the time, but it's just he's gonna be a Bruin. He can't. Can you picture him in another uniform? And here's the thing too.
Red Wings.
First of all, rule out Detroit. He's not going to Detroit. He doesn't want to be part of a rebuild. So yeah, he could. Technically, he should be a $9 million player. But which good team has $9 million to give to a second pair power play star defenseman?
When you hit free agency and the money just starts talking, and it's like $9 million versus $5 million. It's just, I mean,
I think he's going to be here. I think it's going to happen. I can't picture it not happening.
You love Krug like Bradford loves Porcello.
It's not that I love him.
It's going to be your rude awakening next year. Like, you know, by the way, Porcello went to the Mets, so you're thrilled.
I've been assured that he's not going to wear red. That's all I know.
All right. It's the holidays. Happy holidays to all the Skate Podcast listeners. Hope you enjoy.
We'll be back next week. Don't think because we're taking Christmas off. We will have an episode next week.
Do you want to tease who that is?
It is actually Steve Shields, the University of Michigan. I'm going to talk some Johnny Beecher. Probably the most popular topic on Skate Pod history is Johnny Beecher.
It was well downloaded, yeah. I mean, and Steve Shields played with the Bruins a little bit. Not long, but has some insight on some of those guys. You'll look forward to that. And New Year's episode, Mike Loftus will be a part of it, the legendary Mike Loftus.
We're going to recap the decade and look ahead to the decade, and I think if I get Mike in the right mood, we'll have some laughs, and you guys will really see what happens behind the scenes with the Boston media.
I'm hoping that's like alcohol or weed.
He's sober, but we've got to get him to open up a little bit and be himself.
All right, work your magic. You're a great interviewer, and Bob McKenzie's favorite, obviously. Guy follows you, Jesus. Hope he retweets us with his 1.6 million. Bob, give us a retweet, please. Talk to you next week. Merry Christmas.